All right, good morning, everybody. Boy, it's good to be in church this morning, isn't it? Glory to God. Man, there's no better place in the whole wide world to be than in God's house on Sunday morning. Man alive, what a great crowd this morning. There was a man that walked in the woods. He was a man that did not believe in God. He was an atheist man. He walked and started to survey all of the beauty and all of the wonder and the splendor of the wonderful mountains and the beautiful trees, the beautiful path that he was walking on, and the next thing you know, he saw a grizzly bear. This grizzly bear stood up very tall and started to look at the man and thought of him as lunch. This atheist man, then being tackled by the bear, finds himself on his back staring this animal right into his face. This atheist man says, "Oh God, get me out of this." God says, "Oh, you foolish man. All your life you've denied me. All your life you've denied the wonderful creation that I've put around you. All your life you've heard about me, and now you want me to bail you out?" The atheist man, not wanting to be a hypocrite, says, "God, I realize this. But you know what, Lord? If you can't help me, at least make this bear a Christian." God says, "Are you sure?" And the man says, "Yes." So God says, "Be it so as you have asked." The Lord turns the bear into a Christian. The bear stands up, takes his paws and puts them together, and says, "Lord, let me thank you for the wonderful bounty that you've provided for me this morning." Take your Bibles, turn to 1 Kings, chapter 19. I'm sure you've heard that one before, but boy, I had a lot of fun telling it this morning. Bill Davis sends me the corniest jokes. I love them. I love corny jokes, as you may know that. We talked 2 weeks ago. Brother Mike Freimeyer brought a tremendous Sunday school last week. What a great job. If you did not get that Sunday school, you need to get the tape of that. Fantastic job. But 2 weeks ago, we talked about triggers of discouragement. I don't know if you remember that or not, but the triggers of discouragement, it's impossible to write a book on what your triggers are, because as much as all of us are unique, every single one of us may have a different trigger of discouragement. We talked about how sometimes it's very easy to get discouraged after a great victory. We learned sometimes it's easy to get discouraged after a long struggle. Sometimes it's easy to get discouraged simply by just being a normal person in everyday life. Sometimes it's just easy to get discouraged, isn't it? But I want to talk to you this morning about some of the tools that the devil uses while you're discouraged. You know, it's amazing how good the devil has gotten at keeping us out of the service of God. It's amazing how good the devil has gotten at keeping us away from what God's will is for us. It's not even that hard anymore. There's days that I get up in the morning and I can't wait to read my Bible. Then there's days that I get up in the morning and it seems like the world has gotten in and it's not that I don't want to, it's sometimes I just, it doesn't become my priority. Oh, I know I'm the only one in the room. I thank you. But the devil is amazing at his wiles. And the description of a wile of the devil is something that keeps you away from God's will for a while. Now, the Lord has a wonderful will for us, and I got to be honest with you, you're not going to complete God's will or even be in God's will while we're discouraged, because it keeps us not focused on what God has for us. Let's go over some of the tools this morning. We were talking about Elijah. It's amazing that Elijah gets discouraged, isn't it? If you're going to pick on somebody in the whole scripture that would be a discouraged man, you wouldn't think it would be Elijah. Elijah had so many victories. the great power of God seemingly at his fingertips and in his breath. Some of the words that he spoke, God told him to speak and the rain held off. Then he asked him to speak again and it rained. I'm going to tell you right now, Elijah was amazing on some of the things, and yet Elijah found himself discouraged. I'm going to be honest with you. You can look at that and think, well, man, alive, why was Elijah discouraged? I look at that and grab hope. Because when I'm discouraged, I can look and say, you know what? Elijah was discouraged as well. And if Elijah was discouraged and I fall miles short of what Elijah was, I can grab great hope in the fact that, you know what? Me being discouraged is almost normal. The tools of discouragement we're going to talk about this morning, we're going to start looking in 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 2. We recall 2 weeks ago that the great victory that the Lord gave Elijah, 850 prophets total, were slain. Well, 400 of them certainly were slain. 450 of them slain, killed. Great victory. And then we see this in chapter 19, verse 1. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. Let's start out this morning with a word of prayer. Brother Phil, would you lead us in prayer this morning?
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for allowing us to be here today. I pray, Lord, that you prepare our hearts for what day that you've given the day for us, Lord. I pray that it blesses our week, Lord, and just helps us to get through the week. In Jesus' name I ask, amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. If you look in this first a few verses here, after this wonderful, wonderful victory, the devil throws something at Elijah using someone else. It's no surprise that Jezebel was used by the devil, no surprise there. But it's amazing that Jezebel sends out this message of attack. One of the greatest tools that the devil has to get you discouraged is the attack of another person. Now, Christian, I want to stop here for a minute because I've got to be honest with you. We've got to be careful as Christians. If you are saved in here this morning, you've got to hear this. You've got to understand something very important. The life of a Christian is very frail. The life of young Christians especially is very frail. And it's amazing how strong, mature Christians can still fall prey into being used of the devil to attack another Christian. It's amazing how quickly that we can see somebody doing something that maybe is suspect in nature, and we cannot wait to cut the legs out from underneath them. We as Christians are the only people that love to devour our young. We love to attack each other. And I have come to grips with this after almost 17 years of ministry, that the only reason that we attack each other is so we can look good to the person that we're attacking. We can look as though we are mature Christians because you don't read your Bible enough. I say, well, Brother Tom doesn't read his Bible at all. And we do that because the person that we're telling, we desire them to think that we do read the Bible. Think about that for a moment. Why would you attack another person? Why would you attack another person behind that person's back? Why would you do that? What would be the end means here? Are you trying to exhort them and lift them up as the Bible commands Christians to do? Is that what we're doing when we attack somebody behind somebody else's back? Is that what we're there for? We attack because that's one of the greatest tools the devil has to discourage another Christian. I'm going to tell you right now, if I learned that somebody was attacking me from behind, somebody that I looked up to, somebody that I cared about, let's say Brother Carl McDaniel started to attack me behind my back, it would discourage me. It would discourage me. And what would that do? It would discourage me, Brother Kativer, in so much as it would want me to kind of review what I'm doing for God. And the moment that I would take a minute to review what I'm doing for God, it seems like I would become discouraged. I would become discouraged because I knew that somebody was out there to get me. And the paranoia of humans really knows no boundaries. The thought process of humans that somebody's always out to get you does not know an end. Because I'm going to be honest with you, once you've been attacked, you wait for the next attack. The devil uses that thought process. He uses that discouragement to get you out of church. He uses that discouragement to make you start missing Wednesday nights. I know there's no amens, and I'm so thankful. I hope you are thinking with me. The devil uses your discouragement to get you out of the service of God. So if he can do simply something as so easy as attack, he's going to use that to get you out of the service of God. He used it to get Elijah to stop serving God. Elijah! Look at what this says. If you read the scripture, Jezebel, in all of her wonderful wisdom and ladylike features, sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. I'm going to kill him. Such a sweetheart. Probably the founder of Hallmark. She wasn't going to kill him. Elijah, his fame was spread all out the land. Elijah, people knew him. To kill him would be absolute political suicide. Think about that for a moment. Do you think the people are going to allow her to kill Elijah? This great, wonderful miracle that was just wrought, where the Lord sent down fire and consumed the entire altar, sacrifice, water, everything that was there was consumed. It was a wonderful victory, and the people were there. Do you think that they would have allowed her to kill Elijah? And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. The devil used attack, and then the devil used another great, great tool. I want you to see in verse 3, at the end of the verse, which belongeth to Judah and left his servant there. Not only is attack a wonderful tool of the devil to establish discouragement in a Christian, alienation is another tool that the devil uses. Elijah couldn't wait to be alone. This is going to preach this morning. Elijah couldn't wait to be alone. How many of you in the middle of your discouragement can't wait to be alone? The pity party didn't start under the juniper tree, my friend. The pity party started right there. I'm fleeing for my life because I'm so very afraid. He is the man of God. He didn't fear all the prophets standing there because he knew God was behind him. He didn't fear because he knew he had a relationship with the Savior. He had a relationship that God transcended all human power. If God desires you to live, my friend, you cannot die. You need to wrap your head around that. God is that strong. Lester Roloff always used to say, good night, if I'm in God's will, I cannot die. Think about that for a moment. That preaches good. You get out of God's will, hey, then it's a crapshoot. But I got to be honest with you, if you're serving God and God's got a purpose for you on this earth, you're telling me that you can die? Come on now. Is God powerful today or is he not? He's powerful. Oh, man, he's powerful. So he could not wait. Elijah couldn't wait to be alone. I want to ask you a question. How many times in your life have you seen somebody that's discouraged that can't wait to be alone? Come on now. When you get discouraged, you don't want to be around other people. You'll never know how many people I've called that I would love to go visit because it seems like they're getting discouraged and they say, I'm too busy. I'd love to go see you, but I just want to be alone. There's times when I want to be alone. There's times when I want to be alone because I'm discouraged. And it's because I'm discouraged that I want to be alone. The devil uses alienation in a very, very real way. And I'll tell you how. When you get alone, what do you do with your problem? This is good if you hear me. If you live here just for 1 minute with me, live here. I've lived here. What do you do with your problem when you're alone? You think about it, man. You stew those tomatoes every single day, every single minute. I'm going to tell you right now, you cannot wait to continue to think about your problem. You cannot wait to continue to think about your problem and make it something that it really is not. You cannot wait to think about your problem until it is so big that nobody else in the whole wide world has your problem. Your pity party. Look at what happens to Elijah. Oh, no, we're immune, right? Because you're such mature Christians, you could never fall under the devil's tool of alienation. You could never fall prey to this discouragement. You could never fall prey to this because, you know what? You're too mighty and strong. Well, Elijah, I want you to see what happens here. But he himself, verse 4, went a day's journey into the wilderness. How many of you have gone to the wilderness when you become discouraged? Glory to God. I'm not talking about going out into the woods trying to meet the grizzly bear. I'm talking about going into the wilderness of your mind. And came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die. Lord, if this is all you've got for me, why don't you just take me out? Oh, I know. None of you ever whispered those words. God, if you're done with me, Lord, I'm supposed to be a preacher. I'm supposed to be a preacher. God, you ought not let these things happen to me. How many times have you as a Christian said, well, I'm a Christian. Why am I going through this? Who in the world can find in a scripture where it says you're not supposed to go through things as a Christian? Matter of fact, the Bible says that you're going to have toil. You're going to have strife. You're going to have struggle. It says that. Why? Because you need to be worked out as a Christian. Good Lord, if the Lord gave you everything, what in the world would he need you for? He says in here, look at this. This is craziness. He might die and said, it is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. You pity party person. I'm not better than my daddy. I'm not better than the people that have gone before me. I'm just the same. I'm not worthy. I'm not worth nothing. You look at me right now, Christian. You get out of your pity party because the Lord saw fit to send his only begotten son to come down here and suffer and die just for you. Yes, you may be a sinner. Yes, you may be a wretch. Paul proclaimed throughout his scriptures. He said, hey, oh, wretched man that I am. And he may have been wretched, but so am I. And I'm the man that the Lord sent his son for. I'm him. And so are you. Elijah said, it is enough. It's enough. It's time for me to die. It's amazing that we find after a great victory, Elijah said, it's all over. Elijah said, I'm all done. Lord, take away my life. Remember Jezebel's promise, by tomorrow about this time, by tomorrow, let's look on. The Lord not only uses attack and alienation, this is where we get into anguish, pity, sadness. These are very real things. I'm not making a mockery of today's depression. I'm not making a mockery of today's discouragement. But I'm going to be honest with you, I have a hard time believing that everybody that is on medication for depression is actually depressed. Amen. I'm not saying that people aren't depressed. I'm not saying that it's not very real. I'm sure that it is very real. But it seems to me that we are jumping very quickly to make a depression, to make a diagnosis of depression. It seems to me that we are moving very quickly in the fact that we've got nothing to look forward to. It seems to me we're moving very quickly to give somebody medication and give some, and let me explain something to you. I'm not against a doctor's diagnosis. What I'm against is the fact that maybe we don't seek out the doctor first. Maybe we don't seek out him to deal with our discouragement. I'm not saying it's not real. I'm saying I wonder if we should seek out God. He uses anguish, and I want you to see this. I am not better than my fathers. I'm going to take a step back for a moment. In your alienation, in your separation, I've heard many stories about people that go to jail for many years. And when they get set free, they immediately go out and break the law again so they can go back to jail. Why? Who would want that freedom revoked? What happens is they get comfortable, they get adjusted to their setting. They get to the point where they cannot cope with the outside. In your alienation, in your discouragement, I challenge you to not stay there very long. I challenge you to not stay there very long because there's something very important that you need to know. Eventually, you're going to get comfortable with your surroundings. Eventually, you're going to get comfortable with your self-pity. Eventually, you're going to get comfortable with your discouragement. The Lord knew this. The Lord knows that you're going to get comfortable there. The Lord knows that once you get comfortable, you'll be afraid to move. You'll be afraid to have people tell you that you're worth something. You'll be afraid. You can't be worth anything because I'm too busy having a pity party. You're lying to me. No way can I be worth anything. No way can I be good. No way. You know, there's none righteous. No, not one. There's none good. No, not one. I am well equipped to understand that. But in that same note, the ones that aren't good, the ones that aren't righteous, the ones that aren't worthy are the ones that God made worthy by sending us His only begotten Son. Don't stay discouraged for long. Because in your alienation, you're going to find yourself in anguish and you won't be able to get out because you'll like it. How can you say that, Brother Dave? I don't like being depressed. Don't you? Don't you? Because you've gotten used to the fact that people take pity over you. You've gotten used to the fact that you don't have to do anything for God because I can't. You don't have to do anything for God. It's enough. It's enough. I've served God enough. God, take my life. You don't mean that. You don't mean that. I want to show you something. I know Elijah didn't mean that. Look at what this says. Verse 5, and as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. What does God do? Look at this now. Oh, just hold on a second, Brother Tom. You're going to see something you maybe never seen before. What is the first thing that God does in the middle of his discouragement? And if you'll be honest, God will do this for you too. In 1 Kings, look at, I'm getting answers all over the place. 1 Kings chapter 19, he went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down on a juniper tree and requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough now. O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And as he lay and slept under that juniper tree, behold that an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. The first thing, he's there under that tree. God said, I'm here. He sent an angel to him. And an angel touched him. In the midst of his discouragement, in the midst of his not wanting to serve God, in the midst of asking for death, God sends an angel. Here's what's sad. I am just about sure that in your depression and in your discouragement, God sent somebody to you. In the midst of your depression, in the midst of your discouragement, have you ever gotten a knock on your door from the preacher? In the midst of your discouragement, in the midst of your despair, have you not gotten a letter in the mail from Annie? In the midst of your discouragement, in the midst of your despair, have you not gotten a thought that somebody loves you and somebody cares for you? I'm challenging you today, my friend. Do not ignore the touch from God. He loves you today. He cares about you today. The first thing he'll do in your discouragement, if you look to him, is he'll let you know he's still around. But we ignore it. Why? Because we want to be there. That's where we want to stay. It's easier to stay discouraged than serving God with courage. Boy, that's good. I'd write that down if I were you. He lets Elijah know that he is there. What's the next thing he does? Good Baptist angel, this is. It's a good Baptist angel right here. Lord sends him down and does not leave him unprovided for. He says, get up and let's have a fellowship. Elijah looked, and behold, there was a cake. Isn't it good to have cake? Ladies, this does not come from a stranger when you feel bad and discouraged that you start looking for the chocolate cake. It does not come from a stranger that you look for bowls of ice cream. It comes from your Savior. Praise the Lord. He's laying there under the juniper tree with no hope. He's laying there under the juniper tree with no thought. He's laying there under the juniper tree asking to die, and the Lord sends down an angel and touches him, lets him know he's there, and he provides for him. He gives him something to eat. Elijah didn't have to work for the food, right? Did Elijah have any baked goods with him? Was the hostess man right around the corner? Did the Schwabel's guy have a truck back in those days with roads that led right to the juniper tree? I don't believe so. What I see here is God doing a wonderful miracle in Elijah's life that may be small and simple. Has the Lord ever provided a cake for you? I'm going to stop right here one moment and say, woohoo! I'm going to tell you right now, the Lord sent me lots of cakes in my discouragement. The Lord has provided for me a lot of times in my discouragement. It's, do you take the next step and recognize where it's coming from? Do you recognize when somebody comes and tries to help you? Do you recognize when somebody comes and tries to give you a gift? Do you recognize a time that the Lord is providing for you and says, get up, let's eat? Boy, that's good preaching. There was a cake baking on the coals and a cruise of water shows up. He gave him some fruit punch. It's water. I get that. But he gave him something to drink. He gave him something to eat. The Lord decided in your discouragement, I'll provide for you. In your discouragement, I'll help you. In your discouragement, I'll fill that hunger. In your discouragement, I'll fill that thirst. In your discouragement, I'll give you something that you didn't expect. In your discouragement, if you just look to me, if you just look to me. Well, sometimes we're a little bullheaded, right? Sometimes we don't understand what the Lord's trying to do right at first. Look at this now, though. Look, I love this. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. He gave him rest. He gave him a touch. He gave him sustenance. He gave him liquid refreshment. And he gave him rest. But it didn't end there. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time. Because once just isn't enough with God. He came again the second time and touched him. And said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. Lord, I'm done. It is enough. Oh God, I can't go any farther. So the Lord provides for him a touch. Lord, I can't progress. So the Lord provided him some food. Lord, I can't make it. So he quenched his thirst. Lord, I'm too tired. So he gave him rest. Don't you see that God cares for you? In the middle of his discouragement, he comes a second time. And then in the second time, he admits, Brother Mike Freimeyer, he admits that, yes, your journey is too great for you. Can somebody say amen? Amen? The journey of the Christian life is too hard. The Lord grants that. Is that not what the Bible says? Arise and eat. The journey is too great for thee. It is too great. He knows, Kenny. He knows it. He knows your journey is too great. You can't face it on your own. Ha! He doesn't ask you to face it on your own. He doesn't ask you to do that. Jordan, he doesn't ask you to go all on your own as a Christian. He doesn't ask you to face it every step of the way in your own strength. Every step of the way in your own doing. every step of the way in your own thought. He doesn't ask you to do that. He says, I know it's too hard. I know it's too hard, Brother Coolidge. So look at what he does. Glory to God. Because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink. And look at this now. Oh my goodness, look at this. Oh, this is so good. You may not know this. He went in the strength of that meat. He went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights. He knows you're weak. Some of the greatest verses in the scripture that I cling to are the fact that he knows my frame. He knows my thoughts. He knows my heart. He knows that my heart sometimes is guilty and condemns me. Even in the Christian life, if you'll be honest, sometimes your heart lets you know how dirty you are. But glory to God, the Bible says that he is greater even than your heart. He was willing to sustain Elijah 40 days on that meat. Well, Brother Dave, I've been discouraged a long time now. I've been out of the will of God for a long time. Brother Dave, I'm just not sure I'm worthy anymore. Can I help you? My friend, you were never worthy in the first place. What makes you so different now? Elijah, everybody knows him. He got in a point in his life where he was not ready. Boy, you need to hear this. Oh, please grab onto this. He got into a point in his life where he was not ready to grow anymore. The Lord, please hear this, Christian. The Lord is ready to feed you on that meat. Whatever meat you're able to eat, whatever you're able to sustain your Christian walk with, the Lord is ready to give you that meat. He's ready to give you that for 40 days until you're ready to graduate to stronger meat. Until you're ready to move on in a Christian walk, the Lord's ready to wait on you. The Lord's ready to help you. The Lord's ready to sustain you. The Lord's ready to be there for you and touch you and provide for you until you're ready to move forward. Don't get discouraged. Don't get downtrodden. Don't get wrapped up in the fact that you're not moving forward at this time, because the Lord is ready to sustain you with that meat. I would say Elijah was discouraged. I would say Elijah was downtrodden. But as I look through these scriptures, he comes to a point where he answers God. Let's look at it. I don't want to move ahead. He arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word, oh my goodness, thank you, Lord, for the King James Bible. Amen. I would to God you'd grab a hold of this, Christian. I got to believe that sometime in my ministry I've mentioned this. If you want to get things unlocked, go to the Bible. Amen. Amen. If you want to find somewhere to go, go to the Scriptures. And I'm not talking about the NIV.
Amen.
I'm not talking about the RSV. I'm not talking about the NASB. I'm not even talking about an uninspired KJV. Amen. I'm talking about the KJB, the Bible, God's Word in our language. If you've got a hold of it in your hand, you've got the very Word of God. And if you've got the very Word of God, you can take great solace in the fact that this is where you can find courage.
Amen.
I get a little bit tired of people putting a question mark behind the King James Bible. I get a little bit tired of people trying to make you doubt in what God hath said. If you don't think that's a tool of the devil, read Genesis 3. I'm going to tell you right now, don't you dare doubt what God has said. You get yourself an authorized 1611. You grab a hold of this baby and realize it. This is the word of God in our language, and I don't need anything else. He'll sustain you with this meat for the rest of your eternity.
Amen.
Man, that's good. I may sign my own Bible after this message. I realize that I'm just an associate pastor. But glory to God, in the same vein, I am a man of God. And I have got to understand that without this foundation, I have nothing to preach on. How many people in this world right now are preaching on nothing? You're so fortunate that you get to be in this church. You're so fortunate you get to understand that the King James Bible is a pure word of God. You're so unfortunate that you get to understand that it's inspired. I don't care what the clown up there in Hammond said. Oh, did I say that? You can say whatever you want to say, my friend. But the men that went before us held on to that old black book. The men that went before us loved that book. The men that went before us bled and died for that word of God. I'm not going to let some sissy britches up there tell me that it's not inspired. I'm not going to let some sissy britches up there tell me that I don't have a word of God that I can depend on. I don't have some guy up there tell me that you don't need it to be saved. If you're telling me that we don't need the word of God to be saved, you better get your salvation checked out. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by Disneyland. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the best we got. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by a reasonable facsimile. No! So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Amen.
That was just a coupon. Great thing about that coupon is it never expires. I know where I am now. Look at this now, verse 9. He came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord. That's it, right? That's where I stopped. Amen. The word. I wish the Bible would mention about itself every once in a while in a scripture. You should do a study on that once. My wife says, I'm going to go through the Bible and underline every time that the word of the Lord is mentioned. I could grab a good pen. The word of the Lord came to him and he said unto him, look at this now. God didn't talk to him until here. The angel talked to him, amen? This is what God says. What doest thou here, Elijah? Now Elijah, just like you, has been rehearsing his problem over in his head a million times. He's rehearsed the problem. He's rehearsed the fact that he's been discouraged. Even in the middle of all the meat, even 40 days worth of sustenance, he's still rehearsing in his head the problem. So when God asks, this is what he's come up with. He said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant. He blames everybody. That's what you do. Thrown down thine altars and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Now, let me ask you a question. What did Jezebel say in the first part? When was she going to kill him? Tomorrow, about the same time. How long had passed? Come on now. How long had passed? I think the threat's over. I think the threat's passed. God not only fed him. Oh, this is good now. This is good now. God not only fed him. God protected him. How many times in your depressed state has God protected you? Good night in the morning. Isn't that good preaching? How many times in the midst of our discouragement has God taken care of you? Now listen, you weren't worth taking care of. I'm not talking about feeding. He fed him. Oh, he fed him. I'm talking about protected him. Physically protected him. How many times has God taken care of you? You say, well, I've had physical ailments, brother. What about that? You go ahead and you go outside and question God on your physical ailment. I don't have the answer for that. But I do know this, God does. You know, it's amazing, the people that get discouraged and complain the most are the people that stay out of the book the most. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Pull your feet back a minute. Get them out of the way of me stomping on you. Because if you'd be honest, your prayer life stops when you get discouraged. You'll call on him just like Elijah did. Did it say he called on him every day? Did he say he thanked God for the food? Did he say he thanked God for the protection? This is good stuff if you'll hear it. Did he say he thanked God? No, he was discouraged. He was depressed. What in the world's God doing for me? Even all the time he was feeding him. What in the world's God doing for me? Even though the whole time God was protecting him from a wicked, wicked woman that was seeking to chase him down. Hillary Clinton in the Old Testament. Did I say that? You can't talk politics. I would to God the preachers would start talking politics. I would to God that the people of the churches would seek to understand what the preacher thinks from God about politics. I would to God we start treading those waters a little bit. Separation of church and state did not mean the preachers shut their mouths. It meant the preachers and God ran things. That's what it meant. Glory to God. You can elect that. All that time, God wasn't speaking to him. I wonder if Elijah would have heard anyhow. In your discouragement, do you put in earplugs? In your discouragement, do you want to talk to God? No way. I've been there. I wish you were there once in a while. In your discouragement, do you realize that God is taking care of you? He's keeping you safe. I can't explain. I know you're thinking in your head, well, Brother Dave, there's a time that I wasn't safe and I was discouraged and then got in a car accident. Well, if you're here to think about that, I wonder if God was protecting you. Amen. Just a thought. Anyhow, in the midst of your discouragement, do you want to hear what God has to say? Because in the midst of Elijah's discouragement, he has been taken care of, he's been kept safe, wasn't talking to God for these 40 days, doesn't say anything about that. It says the angel talked to him, but doesn't say Elijah thanked him. Doesn't say, thank you for this chocolate cake you provided. Chocolate cake is in the Hebrew. The Lord says, what doest thou here? And he gives him his pity party answer. Look at this. I've been very jealous. I've worked hard for you. God, I've been a soldier. And look at what happened. I wonder if I wasn't a soldier, what would have happened? If I wasn't a soldier, maybe these people wouldn't have got killed. God, you've run me through the mill. And look what God says. God says, oh, I understand. Just go ahead and take the day off. No, he said, go forth. Look at that. Verse 11, he said, go forth. Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by. How would you like to feel about that? Through all your discouragement, Lord, please kill me. Lord, I didn't recognize it was you feeding me. Lord, and by the way, how do you think that cake tasted? I'm just curious. An angel made the cake. How do you think that tasted? It had to be angel food because it wasn't devil's food. Although Elijah was acting like a devil. And the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the wind, before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. Now, there's 100 messages right there. There are. I just want to key on one thing. I wonder if that got Elijah's attention, everything that he saw. Because before God, I'm being chased by this woman. I got a hussy on my tail. Am I allowed to say hussy? I got a hussy on my tail. I'm not sure if this heifer catches up with me, I'm not sure I'm going to make it. If this woman, I don't know if I. And the Lord sends all these things. I got to believe Elijah was, wow. Wait a minute. I've seen that fire before. I've seen that fire before. And it's still small voice. And we'll get into this next week. And it's still small voice. God lets him know that He is God. In the midst of your discouragement, don't plug your ears. In the midst of your discouragement, don't take the time to be telling somebody else about your pity party. In the midst of your discouragement, the Lord says, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" And we'll continue this next week. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for the opportunity to teach Sunday school class. God, there's been many days in my life where I've been very discouraged. There's been many days in my life when I've been discouraged thinking you weren't there. But Lord God, looking back, I see that you were there. You were always there, taking care of me, providing for me, touching me, letting me know that you are truly the one that died for me. God, let us not dwell in discouragement. Discouragement's going to come. But let us not dwell there. And Lord, let us next week seek out the answer for getting over this. Seek out the answer for realizing what it really is and that it's a tool of the devil, and tell the devil to just go home. Lord, please, be with us today. Anoint my pastor. Lord, let him know from heaven today through his lips that you truly are an almighty God. And Lord, let the people's hearts be prepared for it. Let them be seeking a blessing this morning. And Lord, come down in a very special way. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.